Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Hello and welcome to Smart Beauty Creative with me, your host, Viola Levy. And today I'm going to be doing a first of a three-part series talking about the Smart Beauty Method. For those of you wondering what that is, so basically here at Smart Beauty, I decided to do things very differently. Although we're still an agency, we are not your typical agency in how we work, and I'll tell you for why. So before I founded Smart Beauty Creative, I worked as a freelancer for many of the big agencies in London. I saw how a lot of them worked and noticed that while they were full of great people, really amazing, lovely teams to work with, and the culture was great and the clients were nice, I found the structure and the way in which they worked, there was something a bit off with that that I found frustrating, and I think other people did, and I also think the client did. And I think there are a lot of things to look at here. So I'm going to spend this first episode talking about what the issues are when you are working for a mainstream agency, the traditional agency model, what I think's wrong with that. I'll explain why I decided to do things differently in the next episode. The thing I found when working for these agencies is that a lot of them, well, all of them use the retainer model. So some of them would do the occasional sort of one-off project, but most of them would have clients on retainer, which you think makes sense because then they've got a steady stream of income for the next kind of year or 2 years or however long they have signed the client for. And yes, to most people, you'd think getting a retainer client would be the ideal scenario. But what I noticed was that model was very, what I'd like to call, bloated. It wasn't efficient. It wasted a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of back and forth. There was not a good relationship between the client and the agency, especially the creatives. So a project that was sort of being executed on a grand scale, it would involve a lot of meetings and a lot of back and forth. So you'd have a meeting, you know the basic, how it all goes. So you have a meeting, you go off and do the work, you present it to the client, and then you go off and do the amends. Now that all sounds great in theory, but the client is obviously very busy. So especially if you're a brand founder or a CEO, you have a lot on your plate and a lot of different things that you're juggling. So if you're an agency, it can be really hard to tie someone down because as a founder or a CEO, you're extremely busy. You have 101 things to think about. You have a million emails clogging up your inbox. So although in an ideal world, you would have a strict timeline, right, we're going to meet at this time and talk about it, and then we're going to have the revisions back by this time. It would never be that straightforward in reality. What would happen was we'd have an initial meeting, we'd go off and do the work, and then crickets, mainly because the client was very busy and just didn't have a spare minute to think about the project that we were working on. So we would spend a lot of the time just sitting around kind of twiddling our thumbs, waiting for the client to get back to us and trying to look busy. Now, bearing in mind, you know, we weren't, either the agency weren't charging the client any extra for that, or basically they were paying us a day rate as we were freelancers to basically sit around and wait for people to get back to us. Now that isn't an efficient way to work, and it's really not good for morale. So as the creatives, we were just getting very kind of disheartened. We were just getting very demotivated and not really feeling passionate or enthusiastic about this project at all, because there was all this stop and start. We would lose the momentum. You'd get all fired up thinking, yeah, let's create something great. And then no one would get back to us. By the end of it, we were just wanting to sort of sign the thing off and get it over the line and never have to speak of it again, which is a shame, because I think that creative doing that sort of the marketing and stuff, it's stuff that we really enjoyed and why we kind of got into this line of work, that we get to be creative. And we had all of these amazing ideas, and then to just be met with silence and waiting forever, you're just not in the right frame of mind to do the best work that you can do. And I feel like because the client was so busy, they weren't properly switched on or engaged with what we were doing either. So we could present the most exciting ideas to them. And they might think, oh yeah, that seems okay. But they just didn't have a spare minute to properly think about it or properly kind of engage with it or show a real interest. Because I think with creative work, you have to kind of be immersed in it. You have to be in that right frame of mind to properly engage with it and really understand what it is you're doing together, what it is you're trying to achieve. So there was a real kind of disconnect and a lot of resentment building up. And then the client would get fed up because we would keep chasing them, or the account manager would keep chasing them. And projects would drag on a lot longer than they needed to. And the client didn't get their work on time. The project ended up being kind of lopsided and uneven, because as creatives, we were just demotivated because of the time lags and having to do lots of waiting around. It's not a great way for anyone to work. And then also the amount of, like I say, the amount of time and resources being wasted because people's timelines didn't match up because the client's schedules were so busy. So that was the first thing that was the issue that I found with the retainer model. The second thing was just the relationship between the client and the agency. I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, but even with like the nicest clients and the best well-intentioned creatives and account managers, there always seemed to be, to me, a somewhat of a disconnect. And I think it was because there was some confusion as to who was really leading the project and who was driving it. Now, obviously, you have the client, they're the ones paying for it, they're the client. So you would think that the customer's always right. And that's what the account managers were essentially there to remind everyone of. So their job was mainly, and I'm saying this with the greatest of respect, because I think in a big agency, account managers are essential and it's a very vital role. But having said that, I think a lot of account managers are there to keep the client happy, to make sure they stay with the agency. They're kind of like a customer service provider. So they just want to make sure that the client is taken care of and looked after. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they also, because they have this customer is always right mentality, the creatives get very much sidelined and we are basically just doing whatever the client asks for. And that's where I feel the disconnect is. Because even though the client has an idea of where they want their business to go, they may not have the best knowledge of where it should go creatively. And that's something that as a creative, you need to step up and kind of be driving things, but also get the client on board with what you're doing. Because if you don't properly explain to them your rationale and why you think you should take something in the direction you are, the client's just going to see you as being awkward and difficult. Because I don't mean as a creative, you're just saying to the client, no, I think you're wrong. I don't think you should be doing it this way, because that's not going to give you the best outcome, and the client will probably take their business elsewhere. No, what I'm saying is you should get the client on board from the get-go, fully explaining to them your creative rationale, but having that trust there. So gaining their trust and having that precedent that you, the creative, will be driving this project, will be taking it in the direction that the client wants to go, but you're the one in charge of how to get them there. So for example, if you got on a plane and you wanted to go to, I don't know, Alicante or Texas, you wouldn't tell the pilot how to pilot the plane, I hope. You wouldn't tell them how to be flying the plane. You would just, you know, want them to take you to the destination that you're going. So just because the pilot is in charge of flying the plane, that doesn't mean he gets to fly it wherever he wants. He still needs to take you to the destination that everyone wants to go to, but he's the pilot, it's his expertise. Similar to if you go into a restaurant, so you'll get a set menu, you'll decide what you want to eat, but you're not going to go into the kitchen and tell the chef how to cook it. Whereas I feel like with traditional agency models, it is the client kind of piloting the plane. And as a creative, you are just demoted to basically the hands that are going to put together whatever the client visualizes. And I don't think that's a good way of working. And what happens is that as a creative, you again feel very demoralized, demotivated. You don't agree with what the client is saying or doing. And you have an account manager that just says, you know what, they're the client. You just need to do whatever they're asking, which I think is very myopic. It's very sort of narrow-minded way of approaching things, because you're not doing the client any favours in the long haul. You're basically just acting as a yes man, but you're not giving them what they need. And as a result, the work that you turn out is lackluster, it's diluted, it's not of good quality, and it's not going to give the client the results that they want. And I think the client also can sort of pick up on the sort of the resentment that people can feel towards them. And also there's this sense that there's just no trust there, that they don't really trust the agency to kind of take them in the direction that they want. So they're kind of steering the ship, but they don't really know what the controls are. They're just pushing buttons and hoping something will propel them forward. So there's just, no one really knows who's driving the project, and it's all just a very, you know, lopsided and unhealthy way of seeing a creative project come together. That's what I wanted to change with my way of working. It's not about telling the client it's my way or the highway, not at all, but it's about having a good enough relationship with the client that you can explain to them your creative vision in a way that gets them on board, which gets them to trust you and trust in your expertise, and trust that you know what you're doing and that you understand them and their brand, and that you have the ability to take it in the direction that they want to go. But also they need to trust that you're in the driving seat and they can just relax and enjoy the ride and just be part of this project that you're going to put together for them. So yes, I think that agency client relationship needed addressing as well. And the last issue that I thought needed fixing was the lack of specialties and expertise. So you would go to an agency, you would be working on a number of different accounts. It could be car insurance one day and baked beans the other. So you were just chopping and changing from brand to brand, client to client. And there wasn't many creatives that had specific expertise in that client's industry. And I thought, given the amount of specialist designers, specialist copywriters that are out there, sometimes I would get called in to work on beauty clients because that was my specialty and that's what the agency knew that I was focused on. But a lot of times you're working on all manner of different brands, and I feel like there's not enough specialist agencies that brands can go to who they know will really get them, will really get their market and really understand what they're about. There should be specialist agencies that are really focused on one particular market, that they understand how to talk about that client's products in a way that they know will be engaging. They understand the customer, they understand what audience they're speaking to, because I think that's really vital. And I think if the client doesn't think the creatives or the agency working on this project understands their customers, that's when they will try and step in and try and take the creative lead, which, as I explained earlier, isn't the best approach. So I think it's really important for agencies to have specialisms rather than we'll just take on whatever account walks through the door just to boost our profit margins. There's a lack of one-to-one care when it comes to bigger agencies because they're juggling a lot of different accounts. And unless you are a big money client, you often get cast aside. You're often treated like the runt of the litter, especially with smaller brands, so startups, or if you're just not that established yet. A colleague of mine who owns a perfume brand, when she was first setting up the brand, she worked with an agency who charged her quite a bit of money, more than she could really afford, and presented her with three different iterations of her brand identity. None of them chimed with what she had envisioned. None of them really got to the heart of what she wanted to say with this brand, or captured the passion which initially drove her to create the brand in the first place. And that was it. She didn't like the three iterations, and that was kind of all that she got. So there was no more opportunity for revisions. There was just no real accountability, and she left feeling like she'd parted with a lot of money and not very much to show for it. So that way of working can be really detrimental and also financially damaging to a small brand. If you go with the wrong agency, if you pick the wrong people that don't really get you, it can be costly. So that is a huge issue. And then there's scope creep. So that's when, I don't know if the client has any questions, if the client would like the agency to pay a bit more attention and if they have any final queries, or if they really don't understand what the agency has produced, they're not on board with what the agency has produced for them, and the agency are like, no, there's no more revisions, and they're having to kind of push back on what the client wants. And there's this kind of awkward push-pull scenario where the client's wanting more, the account manager kind of wants to give them more, but doesn't want to spend time that they are not being paid extra money for. And a lot of relationships can end quite badly that way, even with sort of smaller agencies. It's really not a great way to end a client relationship, and nobody walks away happy. So I think that having a good relationship with your clients, showing them that you get them and understand what they're about, and having a way in which you can build a rapport with your client and really get to know them and understand them and be able to build that relationship of trust with them, I think is so crucial. And I think a lot of agencies are dropping the ball where that's concerned. They're just looking at their profit margins. They're just thinking, right, this client, they're on board, they've got money, Bill, Harriet and Bob, you can work on the account, off you go. And they think just because they can have an account manager looking after everything, then that kind of solves the problem. But it really doesn't. You can have the most amazing account manager that has a great relationship with the client, but if there is a disconnect with the creatives, then the project still isn't going to get the client where they want to be. So those are the kind of current issues that I saw a lot when I was working with big agencies, and which is why I decided when I created Smart Beauty that I would do things completely differently, which is why I created the Smart Beauty Method, which I will tell you more about in the next episode, and I hope you tune in tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.